Here we are, the third week of the month in May. Bloomington Mayor John Hamilton on Ask the Mayor. We're in the office again, second month in a row. So far, so good. Thanks for having us. Really appreciate it.
Good to see you again, Joe. I'm glad we can be together in space again.
Nice, peaceful Bloomington day, beautiful weather. Summer is in Bloomington. A little change, but still a lot going on. The city is always busy.
Well, but you're right, Joe. The rhythm of this city changes when IU closes and many students return home. The weather warms up, but the streets are usually a little quieter of people, though there's often a lot of work that gets going during the summer, too.
So let's just get into probably the biggest news that's happened since we've last talked. The local option income tax increase, about 51% approved by City Council. Now, I assume there'll still need to be a formality with the Tax Commission of the county to approve that. Is that correct?
No, there does not need to be any other voting action by anyone else. There's a back behind the scenes certification up to the state. Other jurisdictions could choose to vote on it, the three other jurisdictions, but they don't have to, and I'm not sure if they will.
Right, because it doesn't matter. It's been passed by the majority.
It has. I wish they would vote on it. I think it would be good for them to take a position on it publicly, yeah. But I'm not sure they will. But the majority vote has been cast, and it will go into effect October 1.
A little lower rate than you proposed. Is this a happy medium for you? Are you okay with it?
Look, this is really important for our city. You know, Joe, I've talked about it for more than 2 years, actually, the importance of new revenue to help support really new efforts on climate change, on public safety, on inclusion, on affordable housing, on so many areas. It's going to be so important for our city to advance. It is a little less than I asked for, but it's fine. It was the democratic process working. We'll make it work. City Council, I was really pleased that they debated, they wrestled. We worked very closely with them, and they ended up with a unanimous decision, which is not common in difficult votes like this. So we're very, very proud of them. And I think the result will make our city a much better city.
I think the next step that residents or taxpayers will really want to see is, where is that money going? Uh-huh. And so that's, I assume, going to be this next budgeting process.
Yes, under the Economic Development Local Income Tax, EDLIT, we actually produce a specific plan for all that money, which we'll be sharing with the budget process. It'll be in a separate account, so it will be, the money will go into a separate account and will get appropriated out of that account regularly. And I do like to remind people that, you know, Joe, of the seven counties that touch, six and us in Monroe County, we had the lowest local income tax rate for the last several years. And this move makes us only into the middle. That is, three of the counties are still higher than us. There are three now lower than us, and it puts Monroe County right in the middle. And it will help us invest in the transit system, in climate action plan implementation, in affordable housing, in public safety improvements that are essential, both equipment and staffing, and actually all kinds of other city help. And it's really transformational, and it's really essential.
And there are a lot of things that kind of pop out. You just listed a couple of them. I did want to bring up the east to west bus mm-hmm. route that was kind of a key talking point of funding. I think the number one thing that comes from that is it's a 15 minute, of course,
frequency.
This is very early and I get that, but I think the questions I'm hearing is, with Bloomington traffic and no direct corridor east to west, how does a 15 minute frequent bus work?
Sure, and look, our Bloomington transit system is the highest per capita transit system in the state of Indiana. We're really proud of it. It serves many millions of people a year. This takes it to the next level. And transit is so important as we continue to grow, as we continue to work on reducing our dependence on automobiles. And there's a major investment in the local income tax in transit. It's going to offer Sunday service. It's going to increase frequency of all the bus routes so that nothing's longer than 30 minutes. And then there's some exciting new things that will take some strategic planning. So what we have done is outline it. One of them, which we're very excited about, is, as you referenced, an east-west, it's almost like a bus rapid transit. It's the closest thing. Frequent buses, fewer stops, so that it moves you frequently once you get on the bus to, and running from the east side of the city to the west side of the city, maybe even beyond. It will really help people in those areas have great access to downtown and to the campus and to shopping and other things. And it can really change where people choose to live and how they can choose to get around on that line. So the transit system will be doing some strategic planning, some intense planning. They have to do a lot of public engagement on the details of that, but it really could be a very significant development in the city for the next decades.
Is this something that could go as far as Ivy Tech too, even though it's not in city limits?
It could. There's some discussion about that. Bloomington Transit is limited to the city limits, and there are a lot of good reasons for that right now. City residents pay taxes for it right now, property taxes, but those discussions could take us there.
So you mentioned public safety, and of course, you know, we've done a lot of reporting on the police salaries and know that there's a proportion of that will go for that. We've heard the fire department is in need of funding too. The fire department now, though, is it fair to say a temporary location, the main downtown headquarters?
I should mention about the bus system one other thing, which is, of course, Ivy Tech may be annexed. That's the plan, and it's under, if it becomes annexed, then it's very simple to extend the route, so I just wanted to clarify that. On the public safety issues, yes, the fire department, since that downtown headquarters and fire station got flooded last summer, they've been in temporary headquarters, and we need to find a better space for them. We're working on that intensively now. It's not easy to find downtown space like that, but we're looking. Similarly, the police department really needs a better facility, and both of those are funded through the local income tax as well.
Any future plans on both of those buildings and what could be done with those in the future?
Really good question, Joe. We probably, if we move from both of those, we probably will explore whether we dispose of them, sell them to somebody to develop affordable housing or other items. We may look at other uses of that, but my expectation would be if we don't need them for police and fire headquarters, it's probably appropriate to consider shifting them to something else and probably sell them to the private sector.
One of the main reasons why I know that the fire department is going to be or is a temporary position, because that's the future of what could be the convention center. It could be a hotel. We don't
yes,
know yet.
Yes.
So, and I know this is something we've talked about the last few months too, but it seems like I'm starting to hear more buzz about it. Newspaper, media, Monroe County. $12 million has been collected from the food and beverage tax. People are now starting to get worried, where is that money going? Mm-hmm. Anything that you can update everyone with on this?
I think what you said is accurate, Joe. I've been a strong and long advocate for an expansion of the downtown convention center. I think it's really important for our downtown. It's really important for the city's prosperity, and all the restaurants and arts and all the scene downtown is helped by more activity, and we have people who want to be here. So. Obviously, the pandemic changed that for a period of time. We're looking out of that now, coming back. The food and beverage tax has rebounded because it did go down during the pandemic. We did use food and beverage money during the pandemic to help restaurants and other businesses survive. We used it as loan money to help get people through that, but those are getting repaid now. I'm hopeful that we'll be able to move this project forward. There's still some open questions, some discussion to go on, but I sure hope we can. I think it's good for the city.
So who or what entity will or should lead that process back again?
Well, it's going to be a collaborative thing, Joe, between city, county, private sector, like it was before. We had come close to some plans, and there are some architectural renderings, as you mentioned, for really a significant expansion. I hope those will get revived. It's going to take a fully collaborative effort among county, city, and private sector.
Let's just get a quick update. Probably not much to say. You mentioned annexation is still in the works, and I know the city just filed a response to the one of the lawsuits. Anything new on the annexation process, or are we just in a holding pattern right now?
Well, I'm sorry it is in the court, but it is in the court, and the courts are designed to resolve some of the issues. There are two tracks, as you mentioned. One is really on areas 1A and 1B, the big areas on the west side, which are really kind of a regular annexation review by a court to decide if it's appropriate or not. We hope that can get resolved relatively soon. The other litigation is on this constitutional question of the waivers, which if it is to be resolved, probably needs to make its way to the Indiana Supreme Court, which takes a while. Last time we had to do that, it took 3.5 years. I regret that, but it's what we need to do to get it resolved. And once those borders are resolved, we can move forward with a lot of things. We can move forward with more development and voluntary annexation and extension of sewers and really important things like that.
I have a question I wanted to get to before we go to. Robert writes in, he's curious if the mayor or city council are aware of or have reviewed Sibling City Palo Alto's 2-hour free downtown parking protocol.
You know, I haven't reviewed that. It is part of our Sibling City that we'll exchange information about that. You know, the paid parking downtown, which was really developed shortly before I became mayor, so 7-8 years ago, I think, was designed to deal with the pressures of parking and trying to make sure that people could go to restaurants and go shopping and those kinds of things to help downtown. I think most people view it as helped downtown, but if Palo Alto's figured out a different way to do it, happy to learn and look. Thanks for the tip.
Additionally, he wanted to ask about the current Park Mobile app protocol of dictating a 12-hour parking event until an end parking event button is pushed. IU, other cities, including Indianapolis, use a more standard count up from 0 minutes protocol.
It's a good question, Joe. I've used the app myself, though I actually have to confess I tend to use quarters. I find it actually faster, but you know, to each his own. And I probably shouldn't even admit that. I still use coins, but I'll check into it. I think the design of that is basically to make sure you don't get a parking ticket if you don't specify the length of time. If people forget and they don't put a time limit on it, to make sure you don't get a ticket. But it's a fair question, and I'll ask our parking people about why 12 hours as opposed to 2 hours or 4 hours or six or some other things like that.
The city just issued a press release regarding moving forward with Meridiam on providing the infrastructure, high-speed internet. What's new, I believe, is that there's a TIF district that wants to be developed in order to gain some tax money to be put into infrastructure for equity of the broadband. Is that correct, or could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, this is a big, big deal for the city, Joe. So the biggest news really was that Meridiam stated publicly their plan to invest at least $50 million to build out a fiber network that will cover the whole city, that will reach every resident. There may be some areas that are very difficult to get to, but at least 85%, and we hope much more than that, and they intend as much as possible. And that means fiber to every premise. This was something we've been working on for years. It is privately invested. We are planning to put up to $1 million in for digital equity to help make sure that low-income households, if you're on food stamps or if you have free and reduced lunch, et cetera, that you can get very affordable, and we hope free, high-speed internet, 250 megabits up and down. That's higher than most of us can get right now. But the market rate, we don't know the price yet. It will be market price, but it will be a gigabit speed. This is something that it's like electricity for the city. I mean, it's transformational in the long haul. As you mentioned, there may be an exploration, there likely will be an exploration of a tax increment finance district for the price of that network. The property taxes are taxed unusually in Indiana as business personal property. So legislature may get rid of that. They're still looking at that, you know, but there may be a TIF approach to it in the weeks ahead. We also mentioned, I know of interest to you, that there may be some other cities getting that, including one that you talk to regularly, Columbus.
So yeah. We
expect to hear more details about that in the weeks ahead.
So you mentioned that percent, 85% of the possibility of people being on this infrastructure for high-speed internet, though there was an editorial in the Herald Times, I don't know if you caught that, a few weeks ago from a broadband expert that says 85% of Bloomington already does get internet. So how does this help and how does this get to more people?
So there are several ways that's really important. Number one, it's gigabit speed. Most of Bloomington cannot get gigabit speed, and this is important already for some, but it's going to be more and more important for education and work from home and healthcare from home and just as the modern world, our bandwidth needs increase. It also will actually help the whole 5G network in the city because they need backbone fiber everywhere those towers go, so that's helpful. The second thing, and maybe it's a little technical, but this is being built as infrastructure, not as a private system. Right now, when you get internet connectivity, the company that's giving you the internet connection is building the wire to your house. It's almost like if you ordered a package from Amazon, they had to have their own road to get to you. They don't. They use the public roads, just like the Postal Service or FedEx or anybody else. This will be a publicly available road to your house, so any internet service provider can sell you their product. Now, there's an exclusive period of a few years for the first internet service provider to get their into the market, if you will. But it's being built as infrastructure, and that's really different. It's unusual anywhere in the country, but it's how we think digital infrastructure ought to be available. So if in the future, Joe, you have internet service provider A and you don't like them, you can just switch to internet service provider B or C. It could be one of the local providers or others can use that same pipe, digital pipe, to get to your house.
And then how does this help with low sign-up rates too? Because you could have that going right by your house and it's still maybe not affordable.
Well, so the affordability is huge. For most people who pay market rates now, this will be a competitive market product and they'll get to pick which one they want. There is a special emphasis on digital equity because we do have a lot of households who can't afford the price. It's expensive in America, our digital access compared to the world, and they can't afford it. And this program, actually, one of the national experts says, it will be the best digital equity program in the country that we will have here, with 250 bit speed up and down and a net free cost, because it'll be $30 a month, and that's the federal subsidy that you can get thanks to the Biden-Harris administration.
Last question on this. What about current, like you just mentioned, current internet providers that already have the infrastructure down, so they don't really need this?
Well, so it's interesting, Joe. What we find is current internet providers tend to, we kind of call, cherry pick. They'll find a neighborhood that has high take rates, often high income neighborhoods, and they say, we'll put fiber in your neighborhood because we think you can afford it and you'll sell it. But they won't put it in neighborhoods that have less take up, maybe less money, and they're harder then to serve if you don't do it all at once. So there are a few areas of the city that have fiber, and this will compete with them. But the thing is, those fiber providers will now soon be able to use that fiber network in other neighborhoods too. It's like not having private roads in your neighborhood. It's having public streets so that everybody can compete. And this really is like public access to you. It is like streets or like electricity for the future. You know, everybody's going to need digital connectivity. So it's really a big deal for Bloomington. We're excited about it. It's transformational for us, and it's really trend-setting, we hope, for the country.
Speaking of construction, it's that time of year, isn't it? Lots of road construction, so beware.
Yes, be careful. Be gentle with those who are out working. You know, as you know, with our rhythm, Joe, when the students leave and before they come back, whether it's for a football game or for classes, we do a lot to try to get it done when there's less traffic. And so we're in the midst of that blitz and that sprint right now for 2 or 3 months. So you'll see a lot going on. We do put out a release every Thursday. I think we try to let people know the changes. But thanks for your patience and enjoy the quieter streets and the improvements that will come.
Any other last announcements? Anything you'd like to say?
Joe, I think we've covered it. It's been a busy period. In the last 30 days, Catalan's $350 million investment to the local income tax passing to the broadband $50 million investment are three really transformational things for our city that are moving us in the right direction.
Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.